You're listening to Underground History, a collaboration between Jefferson Public Radio and the Southern Oregon University Laboratory of Anthropology, or SULA. I'm your host, Chelsea Rose, and each episode we take a deep dive into little-known aspects of history in our region and beyond. Today, we are going to be exploring a very little-known aspect of history in our region, but we're not going back in time, we're going into the forest. That is, the forest here at the High Desert Museum exhibit on sensing Sasquatch. And since I was going to come do this really fun thing, I thought I would bring you along, dear listener, with me for the tour. So Haley, you want to introduce yourself?
My name is Haley Brazier, and I am the Donald M. Kerr Curator of Natural History, and I'm one of the curators who worked on Sensing Sasquatch, the exhibit.
And we are at the High Desert Museum just outside of Bend. So what are we seeing here right at the entrance to the exhibit?
So right at the entrance, we really wanted a wall that showed the Pacific Northwest rainforest, which is different, of course, than our high desert dry landscape. And the idea was sort of to conjure this Harry and the Hendersons feeling, this really popular depiction of Sasquatch or Bigfoot in America, which is a being that lives in these wet rainforests. And we put a large Subaru, cut it in half, put it on the wall to sort of show this idea of driving off into the distance of this rainforest. And you can put a sticker on the car if you want to that shows all these popular depictions of Bigfoot, you know, with the beer cans and the funny sayings alongside him. And it's just to encourage people to begin to put those thoughts away to the side. So, sure, Bigfoot can be on these beer cans and on these signs. That's totally fine. But for this exhibit, we're going to encourage you to step in a different direction and begin to think about Bigfoot told through an indigenous lens in the high desert region.
You know, really, Bigfoot has become like a pop culture icon of the Pacific Northwest. I'm very excited to learn more about other ways of thinking about him or them.
Either, exactly. So the first thing you see when you walk in is this very large wall that puts you in the scene of various high desert landscapes. And on each of these landscapes is an indigenous term for Sasquatch. And we worked with one of our indigenous advisors to do a lot of the research on this, to work with different tribes to bring in these indigenous language for Sasquatch. And it might mean a monster or a fictitious being is what we're reading right now, or an ogre or someone that lives in the mountains. And the goal of what we call this a language map is to show that across this entire broad region and across these tribes that have different languages, different belief systems, different backgrounds, a commonality is a belief in a Bigfoot.
And so when you brought up the idea of this to your indigenous partners, how did you kind of build that relationship and that trust to get people to open up more about the way they think about this?
To answer that, you go back years and years of the High Desert Museum building important partnerships with indigenous advisors, because I think if we didn't have those partnerships already established, that wouldn't have worked as successfully, right? So when we approached, for example, Phil Cash, one of our major indigenous advisors, he was ready to work on this and excited. And then some of the artists, some of whom we knew already and had worked with, and others were connected to us through other indigenous artists. And so again, those relationships are everything.
What are we hearing in the background? What are some of the sounds?
So right now, actually, we're looking at a Rocky LaRock piece. He's Salish. And this is that kind of Pacific Northwest rainforest-based Sasquatch. And what we're hearing in the background is actually some trees moving together and shifting. So if you hear that kind of rumble, you can open that to interpretation as you see fit. But it's meant to create a sense of mysteriousness. We want to be careful not to be too ominous, but the fact that this forest is actually holding some secrets, so we don't totally know for sure. So this area right here, it shows a canyon area. And again, we wanted to have people understand that Sasquatch or Bigfoot, whatever term you want to use, may be living in these drier areas. And we had heard from a few of our artists and partners that it is actually quite common for folks to be leaving out an offering for Sasquatch, particularly if they know that there is a Sasquatch or multiple Sasquatches nearby. So you're hearing in the background right now noises of the other species responding to a Sasquatch coming closer to collect that offering. And what we had learned in the process of curating this exhibit is that the forest species really do talk to each other if there is a Bigfoot nearby. And so you'll hear coyotes, maybe some crows, and that's all going to amp up as Sasquatch gets nearer and then get very, very silent and quiet as he arrives and the offering disappears from the rock.
You're listening to Underground History on Jefferson Public Radio, and I am recording this interview in and amongst the Bigfoots at the High Desert Museum. Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so we wanted to bring this component in to show some of that deeper history. And so what we're seeing on the wall here is a pictograph, and this is actually the original, is at the painted rock site on the Thule Indian Reservation. It shows what is believed to be a Papa Bigfoot, a Mama Bigfoot, and a baby Bigfoot. These family units. It's not just a Bigfoot or a single male Bigfoot. It's female Bigfoots. It's a family of Bigfoots or Sasquatches. If you head over here to the right, you'll have a nice little surprise as you turn the corner.
Okay. Ooh! Was he going through a portal?
Exactly.
Oh, wow!
Yeah, so this piece is by Frank Buffalo Hyde. And the goal is that he is going through a portal, and that this idea that Sasquatch is interdimensional. So he's going to appear and go away and go to a different dimension and then maybe appear again. So he's not really catchable, is he? You know? And Frank Buffalo Hyde wanted to do this sort of modern-looking, bright pink, loud, booming exhibit piece because it actually brings Sasquatch into this present-day story. And it's totally different than that sort of typical Bigfoot hunter narrative we get, which is like, let's find the fur, let's find the footprints, let's, you know. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, it's just different. This is a totally different, more spiritual look about Sasquatch. And there's a quote on the wall here from Frank Buffalo Hyde, and it says, not everything has to be explained, not everything has to be known.
That's amazing. Yeah, it's very psychedelic.
Now this large Sasquatch you see in front of us is by Hollyanna Cougar Tracks. And I should mention that every image you're seeing of Sasquatch in the exhibit was made by our indigenous artists who worked with us. So as the employees and team working for the High Desert Museum, we wanted to make sure that we didn't put any images of Sasquatch in the exhibit, only on that exterior area. And so this is only a story told through the artists. And something that was super cool about Hollyanna, and if you read the quote on the wall, she had personal experience with encountering a Sasquatch in her younger years. And for her and for many, many people, Sasquatch is actually seen as a protector, as somebody who is watching out for you in the forest, who is always has eyes on you, and it actually has a really positive presence. Because oftentimes we get this sense of, oh, it's a monster, you know, he's scary, he's going to hurt us. But her artwork and her storytelling actually reverses that. Yeah. And you'll often see her refer to Sasquatch as she.
Okay.
So she is a protector.
Yeah, and this Sasquatch is really big, but also has this kind of like cuddly, non-threatening kind of vibe about it.
Exactly.
Or her.
Yeah. Yeah, and she has, her body's facing forward, but her head is facing the opposite direction to kind of show that they're always watching no matter where they're going.
Mm-hmm. And we're standing in the middle of like kind of a space that's separated by like a curtain kind of to kind of, again, give this ephemeral sense of like you're in a different kind of environment or like what was the thought with that?
Yeah, it's kind of dark. You're hearing a lot of noises. The idea was to provide a full sensory experience because whoever we've talked to about any Sasquatch encounter is that it really plays on your senses of sound and sight and smell. It is a overwhelming, if not negative or positive, but just generally overwhelming experience. And so we wanted to make sure we had that sensory experience in here. What we did not want to do is create a false encounter. We wanted to hint at the idea of meeting Sasquatch or learning about Sasquatch without scaring people or creating a story that isn't true, that they didn't really meet Sasquatch in here, that they need to go out and live their own lives, and maybe one day they'll have an encounter, maybe they won't. Mm-hmm. But in here they can at least learn about the indigenous perspective. So here's a piece by Philip Cash. I mentioned him earlier. And these are rattles four Sasquatch. So you can see that they're really a large size, yeah, as you can imagine, for a large Sasquatch being. And I always really liked his quote, which is, when the world touches your heart and you've had an experience with beings like Sasquatch, then you will know the world as we do. And we collected this wood just from our own high desert region.
And the idea is that these are rattles Sasquatch would use, not a human would use, to lure Sasquatch or communicate with Sasquatch.
Exactly, that these are rattles that Sasquatch would hold, which is why they're that large size and they have antlers on them to make that kind of noise you're hearing in the background right now. And what's cool about this is that it flips the script again. It's saying Sasquatch is going to choose when to communicate with you humans, not the other way around. It gives a lot more agency to Sasquatch sort of choosing, yeah, those moments. I'll point this section out to you here, Chelsea. So, you know, we talked about sensory experiences, and we wanted to make sure there was some smell experience in this exhibit, because if you've talked to folks who have had a Sasquatch encounter, they will tell you that smell is like one of the number one things they're noticing, a really musky, heavy, heavy smell. But because we don't want to create a false encounter in this exhibit, we had the idea of creating other smells of the high desert that remind us of where Sasquatch is living. Yeah. And so the smells we have here, I'll just scoot up here. So we have earthy smells. And we'll see if you can pick up on a little bit. Get your nose right up onto it.
It does smell earthy.
Floral.
Floral.
Oh, that smells really good.
Sweet. So that would be like the ponderosa pine tree, that kind of maple-y smell of a pine tree.
It is very maple-y.
And then this one's, I think, faded a little bit, but that's...
Oh, like animal.
It's like animal. Yeah, that one would be the musky would be the most similar.
Yeah.
And... you know, what might a bear smell like, or another, you know, wild animal. So again, we're creating, using the senses to be able to kind of suss out what it might be like. So this is the last piece in the exhibit. It's by artist Charlene Tilly Moody. So Tilly Moody, she goes by the name Tilly. And she's located the nearest to us of all the artists. She's from Warm Springs. And this is actually buffalo hide here. And she smoked it as well. So you've got that sensory experience with the smell. And if you come around to the front, she has painted this entire front side. And this is probably one of my favorite pieces in here. That's Mount Hood right there. So you've got that really close regional connection. And you get the sense by looking at this family who's camping here in the woods that Sasquatch is back behind watching them and protect and looking over them and protecting them. And the vibe you get from looking at this painting is not one of fear or negativity. It's again, it's a positive experience that this family is having, and Sasquatch is there to watch over that.
Yeah, you really get the sense after walking through here that you're asked to like embrace the mystery of the forest and not try to be so obsessed with just like, what is it? Does it exist? Can we prove it? But just like to let it kind of be and to see those fleeting glimpses as it goes into the portal, or to smell the smells. And I mean, that's a really, really lovely way to think about that and to kind of add that nuance to forest encounters or desert encounters.
Yep. You've really hit the nail on the head, because the goal of this exhibit is a quote we have out front, which is from Phil Kashkash. And he says, the world is bigger than we know. And if we can get our audiences to come in here and just shift a little bit and think, maybe I don't know everything. Maybe these stories are teaching me something that I never understood before. Then that's our goal. We've successfully connected with our audience about Sasquatch. So the goal of this exhibit is not to prove or disprove or find out anything. It's more to show this indigenous connection and relationship with Sasquatch.
Thank you so much for taking time to come through here with us. That wraps up another episode of Underground History in the Field. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Chelsea Rose. Show producers are Natalie Golay and Charlie Zimmerman. You can find Underground History in this dimension and beyond anywhere you get your podcasts.
You can visit the Sensing Sasquatch exhibit at the High Desert Museum in Bend, Oregon through January 12th.